مبلغ فيوس ماي بير مبلغ فيوس ماي بير مي يو كيب اسندينج سكسس سير سكسس.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islam brothers, there are many blessings in sending salutations through the Park upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever sends salat upon me 100 times in a day, Allah azza wa jal will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 of the hereafter and 30 of this world. Sallu ala al-habib. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, modesty, haya, holds a great significance in Islam. Highlighting the importance of modesty, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he preached modesty. And he stated that Iman has more than 70 branches and modesty is one of the branches of faith. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah, with regards to this, he states that true modesty does not lie in only outwardly performing virtuous deeds and acknowledging modesty verbally. Rather, modesty entails safeguarding the outer and the inner body parts from sins. Therefore, one should refrain from bowing his head in prostration to anyone except Allah Azza wa Jalla. One should purify his mind from ostentations and arrogance. One should safeguard his tongue, eyes and ears from uttering, looking at and listening to impermissible things. This is considered protection of the head. One should protect his stomach from haram food, his private parts from fornication, and his heart from all desires. This is classed as protection of the stomach. The truth of the matter is, he says, is that these blessings can be attained by the bestowal of Allah Azza wa Jal and the generous gaze of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Modesty, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, is a noble character that stops a person from evil. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a famous hadith, he says that if you've not got any modesty, you've not got any haya, then do what you like. If you've not got modesty, if you've not got haya, then do whatever you like. And that makes you realize that if you've not got that haya inside you, you've not got that fear of Allah inside you, you don't care about anything inside you, then do whatever you like. So this modesty, being a branch of our iman, is an important thing. And we can see from this that if we don't have this inside us, if we don't have that inside us, then we'll become, we won't fear God at all. We'll do whatever we will and we won't even think anything about it. So it's something that we need to be aware of. It's something that we need to develop inside ourselves. And we need to develop this haya, this modesty inside ourselves. And inshallah, that'll bring us closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. That'll keep us away from committing sins. That'll bring us closer to, you know, how we should live our lives as true Muslims. The renowned spiritual leader of Ahlus Sunnah, Mulana Ilyas Attar Qadri, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep his shadow upon us. The leader of, founder of Dawat Islami, without a doubt, if it was not for him, I would not be standing here today. He said that this particular saying is to admonish and instill fear that do as you like, but you will reap what you sow. If you do bad, you perform an immodest action, then you will face its punishment. A righteous person advised his son, the summary of which is follows. He says, whilst committing a sin, when you feel no shame from anyone on the earth or in the sky, then consider yourself to be amongst the animals. People commit sins and they don't think twice about it. They're not scared of committing sins. They're not scared of missing the salah. They're not scared of lying, cheating, backbiting. They're not scared of hurting people's feelings. They're not scared of drinking alcohol, committing fornication. They're not scared of all of these things. And this person said that a person, when he commits a sin and you feel no shame from anyone, if you feel no shame from anyone on the earth or the sky, then consider yourself to be amongst the animals. Alama Ali Qahri Rahmatullah Ta'ala states regarding modesty, he says, modesty is a trait that prevents a person from committing evil deeds due to his faith. So when we talk about haya, we talk about modesty and we think of, oh, it's only being modest in front of people of the opposite sex. It's not, it's more than that. Haya is so much more than that. And so the translation, when you translate haya into modesty, it's not a true translation. Haya is to have encompass all of these things, this feeling of Allah, this awareness of your actions, this awareness that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you, to protect every part of your body and soul from sins. Having that inside you, all of this encompasses haya. Yes, we talk about haya as being modesty is the translation in English, but modesty is not a true translation. And sometimes when we talk about Islamic terms, we loosely translate the words to the best word that's possible. The commentator of Sahih Bukhari, Alama Maulana Mufti Muhammad Sharif al-Haq Amjadi, has stated, at times, observing modesty is farz and wajib, such as observing modesty from a haram and an impermissible action. At times, it is mustahab, such as observing modesty in abstaining from an act that is maghruh tanzih. At times, it becomes mubah, i.e. permissible, such as observing modesty from performing a mubah shari, i.e. an action that sharia has declared to be permissible. So haya here, as you can see, is not one sentence, it's not one statement. And so as Muslims, we need to develop this inside and become aware of it. But unfortunately, we see that, you know, around us, environment around us plays a vital role in spreading modesty. A person's modesty is greatly refined if he is blessed with a modest environment. If you're in an environment where you are in a God-fearing environment, you're in an environment that you're talking about refraining from sins, if you even think about committing a sin, someone will say to you, look, you shouldn't be doing that, it's haram. You know, are we sitting in gatherings where the word haram or halal are used? Are we sitting in gatherings where we talk about the masjid? Are we sitting in gatherings when we're talking about inshallah, in a few months' time, Ramadan is coming, what we're going to do? Are we sitting in them gatherings? Or are we taking in them gatherings, sitting in those gatherings where we can think of the next scam, the way we can make the next book, the way we can fiddle someone? I heard about this fiddle, what about that fiddle? What about this thing? What about this scam? What about that scam? Having this haya inside you, having this fear inside you that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you. You know, I don't know if the Maktabat al-Madina has them here, but in my office and a lot of brothers, what they bought these stickers. And the stickers, basically, they put it in their office or they put it in their houses and it just says, Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. And that is something that we need to develop. We know this. We know this. We know that Allah is watching, but we need that constant reminder. You need that constant reminder that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you. And you see that many times in the dua, we say that, oh, you can switch the light off and think nobody can see you. You can close the door and think nobody can hear you. You can go to a different town and think nobody knows me here. I can do what I want. But Allah hears. Allah knows. Allah sees. Allah knows everything. You cannot hide from Allah. And so we need to develop that inside ourselves. About this fear of Allah and having that haya inside ourselves. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala stated that one day the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down in his blessed house while his clothing was lifted from his blessed thigh or shin. They said his clothing just came up a little bit. Came up a little bit. And when it came, he was resting there. And the clothing was such that a little bit of his shin was visible. During this time, the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu, came and he sought permission to enter. And the noble Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him inside. So he entered. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in that position. He remained in that position. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he had the conversation with him. And when he completed, he left. Sometime later, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he knocked on the door and said, can I ask permission to come in? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed him to enter. He allowed him to enter. He didn't move his position. He was still in the same position, like I said, where part of his shin was visible. He had his conversation. His needs were fulfilled. He left. Then the third Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he came. However, when he sought permission to enter, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat upright. He straightened his clothes. He straightened his clothes. And then he granted Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu to enter into his house. And when he spoke with him and he left, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anhu, she said, Ya Rasulullah, what was the reason that when my father came, you didn't move? When my father came, you didn't move. But when Sayyidina Uthman came, you sat upright and you straightened your clothes and you made sure that you were completely covered. Replying to the question, the noble Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I not observe modesty before whom even the angels observe modesty? This was the character of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan. That he had so much haya inside him. He was so modest that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was careful in front of him. And the Ummah mentioned this hadith mentions the cloth being lifted from the blessed thigh. Whilst explaining this, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Nemi Rahmatullah Ta'ala states, it does not mean that the blessed thigh was completely uncovered. It can also mean that the kameez was removed from the blessed thigh, but it was still would covered. And if we see that if this was the haya of one of the companions of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then what would have been the haya of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself? And that's why as Muslims, my dear Islam brothers and viewers, we need to be aware of these people. You know, as Muslims nowadays, who are our role models? Nowadays, we're taking football players as our role models. We know more about certain football players than we know about the companions of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know more about certain cricket players than we know about the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know more about certain politicians than we know about our pious predecessors. We don't know about these people. And so as the youth, especially the youth, but even our elders, we've taken the wrong role models. We've not taken them Islamic role models because we have this mindset, we think, well, we haven't got any role models. There's no Islamic role models, but there are. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my companions, they are like stars. My companions are like stars, follow whoever you wish. You will never be misguided. But what do we know about them stars? What do we know about the lives of any of the companions? Do we know how they live their lives? We know, we talk many, many times, we've talked in this masjid about loving the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How? How should you love the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Look at the lives of the companions. We talk about following, adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How? Look at the companions, how they did it. If I was to say to you, name me 10 football players, you could do it. 10 cricket players, you could do it. 10 politicians, you could do it. Can you name me 10 companions? Can you name me 10 companions of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Can you name me 10 prophets of Allah? And then we say, well, this is why we are where we are. This is where we need to look at ourselves. You know, in the Pakistan subcontinent, they have the wedding ceremony takes more than one day. It takes quite a few days, as you all know. And there's one ceremony that they call Mayu. Mayu. Yeah, you've heard of it. And Mayu is basically where the girl, she's dressed in certain clothes and she remains in a certain part of the house. She remains in seclusion in that part of the house. She doesn't come out of the house for the rest of the wedding ceremony until the Barat and the Ruksdi that takes place. And we are told, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala said that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was more modest, had more haya in him than that girl who's sitting in Mayu in the corner of a house. Allahu Akbar. Some people have said about parda, about the veil, you know, that what you should have is you should have the, you know, you should have the veil of the heart. It's not about veiling the eyes, it's veiling the heart. Okay? Some people have said this. And Amir al-Sunnah was asked the question, yeah, should there only be a veil of the heart? You know, should there only be a veil of the heart? And he replied, this is a great and extremely trap, evil trap of shaitan. Moreover, this phrase contains rejection of verses of the Holy Quran that command one to cover the apparent body. For example, it is stated in Surah Al-Azab, verse 33, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, and stay in your homes and do not remain unveiled like the former unveiling in the times of ignorance. So it's a command. Allah Azza wa Jalla is commanding us to stay covered. Allah Azza wa Jalla is commanding our sisters to stay. And to us, we have a certain amount that we need to cover as well. You know, we think, oh, the sisters, they need to be covered from head to toe. But the brothers, it's okay. No, it's not okay. For the brothers, from the knee to the navel must be covered. And nowadays, you see people playing football in shorts. You see people going swimming in shorts. This is haram. From the knee to the navel must be covered. For the men as well. So playing football or any sport, you go into the gym and you're wearing shorts, it's haram. You go swimming and you're wearing these shorts, it's haram. In the same way, how upset would you be, how disgusted would you be if you see your sisters half naked and you say, that's not the order, they're not covering themselves properly. You're not covering yourselves properly. Nowadays, we've seen people when it gets hot weather, at the moment it's very, very cold, but during the hot weather, they're not wearing any t-shirts, they're not wearing any shirts at all. That's okay, you're exposing, but they're exposing too far down. From your navel, you're exposing that, and that's haram. But we don't care about that. And again, we need to be aware of this. And so the person who denies the concept of veiling, says only the heart is to be veiled, leaves the fold of Islam. Because it's not just about the heart being veiled, it's much, much more. There was a beautiful event that took place. At the time of one of the battles that took place, a woman, she had been told that her son had been martyred in one of the battles. So the army's coming back, The army is coming back, and she hears the news that your son was martyred. But it wasn't confirmed. It wasn't 100% confirmed. So she came out of her house to find out whether her son had been martyred or not. And when she came into the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was completely covered, completely veiled. Completely veiled. And someone said to her that, yeah, at that time, where you've got a panic, obviously you just had a shock that your son's been martyred. How did you think, how did your mind think to yourself that I need to cover myself before I come out of the house? You know, people panic and they run out of the house not thinking what they've got. They've got no shoes on, no keys on them, and they just run out of the house, don't they? How was it that at that time, in that panic, in that fear, in that pain that you had inside you, you still managed to cover up? You still managed to cover yourself up? The words that she mentioned, Allahu Akbar, mentioned them 1400 years ago. She mentioned them 1400 years ago, and today we are here. Them famous words that she recited. And they will stay, them words will stay in the history of Islam until now into the eternity. She said, I've lost my son, but I've not lost my haya. I've lost my son, but I've not lost my haya. Allahu Akbar. You know that, you know, when you think about that state, just think about it, the state that she must have been in. You know, when you hear that you've lost someone, we've all lost loved ones, we've all lost our elders, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, we've all lost somebody. And at that moment in time, your brain doesn't work. You run out of the house, you've not got shoes, you don't think twice. But she said, I've lost my son, but I've not lost my haya. Allahu Akbar. These are the role models for our sisters. These are the role models for our sisters. Again, what do we know about these people? What do we know about these great role models? Haya. Haya. But my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, nowadays our haya has been attacked from many, many ways. It's not just, you know, the physical act of adultery. It's not just the physical act of adultery. But nowadays, maintaining your haya, maintaining your modesty in your home is very, very hard. Why? Because we have these things. And we have these things. You know, the internet and social media, the harms of social media and the harms of internet, how they're taking the haya, the fabric of our society away. And as a result of that, we're losing our haya, we're losing our iman, and we don't think twice about it. If you remember in the month of Muharram, the Mubaliks may have told you that one of the evil acts of Yazid was he used to have dancing women in his courts. He used to have dancing women in his courts, he used to call the women, and they used to sing and dance in front of him. And the question was asked, the question is asked by many Mubaliks, that what do we do? Do we follow the acts of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, or do we follow the acts of Yazid? Yazid, he didn't pray. Imam Hussein never missed his prayer. And that made us think. But then when someone said that Yazid, he had dancing women in his courts, and obviously Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he never had anything like this. And then we say, well, we've not had anything like this. We don't have dancing women in our houses. Do you not? You do. On your TVs, on your mobile phones, on social media, you're scrolling through social media, when do you stop? You're flicking through channels on the TV, when do you stop? You're looking at videos on social media, when do you stop? And what do you see? If you're seeing ayats of the Quran, if you're seeing naats there and all these things, that all well and good. But how many of us stop at those pages that we shouldn't be stopping at? How many of us stop at those pages that if we had our family there, if we had our wives there, we had our daughters there, we had our mothers there watching us, would we be watching them pages? No, we wouldn't. Because we're afraid of what our mother will think, or what our wives will think, or what our daughters will think. We're afraid of that, but we're not afraid of what Allah Azza wa Jalla is seeing. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla is aware of what you're seeing. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows every page that you've been on. You can delete your internet industry. You can delete your call industry. You can delete all the things. Everything can be deleted from your phone. But it's recorded. It's recorded somewhere. And that record will be open one day. And you'll not be able to deny it on that day. That record is there. Whatever you do, good or bad, is recorded. You can delete it and I can never see it. Your family will never see it. You can delete all your internet industry. Do whatever you want, but it's recorded. And we need to develop that inside ourselves. This internet is like a sharp sword. A sharp knife, rather. A sharp knife is very beneficial and very harmful. A sharp knife, you can cut an apple. You can cut fruit. You can also cut your own throat. You can also hurt yourself, unless you, if you misuse it. And we have the spiritual loss, the religious loss of using social media. There was a, on page 33 of the monthly magazine for Zana Medina on October 2017, it stated it's very difficult for those who use social media to refrain from sins, especially unlawful gazing. Sincere religious people with corrupt beliefs also use social media in large numbers. Sometimes there's a great risk for a common Muslim to fall prey to the whispers and develop corrupt beliefs or lose one's faith. Not only with the misuse of social media are you looking at things you should not be looking at, but what happens is people start listening to other speakers of corrupt beliefs, people start speaking other faiths, and what before you know it, you not only lost your aqidah, you've lost your iman as well. You've lost your haya, your aqidah, your iman, you've lost everything. So like I said, this sharp sword, this sharp knife, it can kill you. The physical loss. We see people that spend hours and hours and hours on phones. Hours and hours on phones. And there's been instances where people have actually, you know, they've been that long on these, you know, internet games and social media that what's happened is they forgot to eat, they forgot to drink, they forgot to give the children food, the children have starved to death whilst they're playing these internet games. This has happened. The educational loss. Just think to yourself, ask yourself, today before you go to sleep, ask yourself, how much time did I spend on social media today? If I'd have spent that time reading a book of the seer of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the seer of the companions, then when I said early on that we don't know anything about it, how much would we have known? You know, your phone tells you you've used 6 gig of data this month, 8 gig of data this month, 10 gig of data this month. It gives you a record of what data you used. And that's just the data that you used on your mobile, then, not the Wi-Fi that you got at home. Just think, and then go online and download a book and see how much data you have to download it. See how many pages it is. 1 gig of data in reading format would be hundreds of books. But you've wasted that time. That knowledge that you could have acquired. Nowadays we find it hard if we say to you, read a book for 12 minutes a day. I ain't got time. But when you go on social media, before you know it, an hour's gone. Time just flies. And we've wasted that time. That time's gone. What is it? It's 9 o'clock now. 8 o'clock today will never come back again. That time's gone. How did we use that time? We were here in the masjid. But if we weren't here in the masjid, then we were elsewhere. Then would that time be any value to us? No, we would have lost that time. You need to value your time. Don't waste any time. The social loss. We also see that families have a breakdown where they're not communicating with each other. You go into a house, the mother's there, the father's there, the son's there, the daughter's there, and they're all doing this. That's all they're doing. Not talking to each other. Not talking to each other. You know, someone jokingly said that if you want to get the family together, disconnect the Wi-Fi. Disconnect the Wi-Fi and everybody will run in the room. Hey, what's happened? What's happened? The Wi-Fi's gone. The Wi-Fi's gone down. Yeah? And that's the only time people will speak to each other. Even when they're eating the... So what's happened? You're eating, drinking, whatever you're doing at that same time, you're still scrolling and you're eating, you're not even looking. You probably don't even recognize your relatives, you've hardly seen them. Is this a reality? Is this what we're becoming? Yeah? This has become like our lifeline now. We can't live with this without it. How many of us spend 1% of our time that we spent on social media reading the Quran? 1%. Only 1%. I'm only talking about 1%. Ask yourself, how much time I spend on social media? If I say to you, give me 1% of that time reading the Quran. When I said at the beginning that if you recite Durood e Pak 100 times, this will happen, and how long will it take? Oh, 100, Durood e Pak, too long. If I was to give you the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you read Durood e Pak 1,000 times, you will not die until you see your place in paradise. 1,000, I ain't got time for 1,000. I can't read Durood e Pak 1,000 times, but I can go on social media for 2 hours. I can flip through millions of videos for an hour and a half. I've got time for that. I haven't got time for this. Why? These are again the shaitanic whispers. I remember once we went to a solicitor's, give him Nikki Kidawad, called him to the ishtama, and he admitted, he said, I struggle to read my salah. I struggle to read my salah because I'm a very busy person. You know, I deal with professionals and I get the phone calls and I have to deal with them. And, you know, I haven't got time. But then he himself admitted. He said, if someone calls me, you know when someone calls you and you see it, you think, oh, right, okay. Yeah, this one, it's only going to be a 5-minute call. You know, when someone calls you, you know what person's calling you. You see a phone call, this is going to be 20 minutes, this call, yeah. I'll speak to you later because you know it's going to take 20 minutes. He says that when people call me, I know how long the call's going to take. But if the call takes longer than normal, I don't get upset. If it's a 5-minute call and it takes 45 minutes, so be it. I don't get upset. So I find them 40 minutes to attend that call, but I can't find 5 minutes to read my salah. He himself admitted, he said, this is the shaitanic whisper that's stopping me from reading my salah. I have no problem in taking an hour-long phone call. I have no problem in being on the phone overtime, staying behind after work, listening to these phone calls, listening to these messages, replying to my emails, doing this work. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with reading my salah. And that is our problem. This time management. And what happens is, as a result of social media, as a result of the internet, we waste so much time. We waste so much time. And then you've got the economic loss, the amount of money that we're spending on it. Oh, now, nowadays, Wi-Fi's cheap. Wi-Fi's a lot cheaper, but okay, still at the same time. You know, we've got to have the best phone because it's got the, it can do 5G, it can do this. Oh, I don't want a phone that does only 3G or 4G. It's got to have 5G. It's got to have this. It's got to have that. It's got to have the greatest memory because I want to download more videos and watch this. What is this? Yes, if you're downloading the right videos, then it's beneficial. But do we? But this same thing, like I said, this knife, it can cut your throat, but this knife can also be beneficial to you as well. If you use the internet, if you use social media as a call, as a means of calling to righteousness, giving nikki that, calling people to piety, by using our social media, by calling people to the ishtama, then it's beneficial without a doubt. If you're calling people to this ishtama, sending them messages, sending them posters, sending them reminders, waking them up for salah by sending them messages or whatever it is, definitely some means of sawab. But the question is, what are we using it for? If we're using it for, you know, letting people know about religious activities, letting them know that there's a Madri Kafla this weekend, letting them know that it's the beginning of the month, have you filled in your Madri Namaz card? Letting them know about the weekly Ishtamas, letting them know about Juma times of change, Namaz times of change, do you aware of this? If you're letting people know, then obviously it's a beneficial. If you're using it to acquire the knowledge of the deen, if you're using it to protect your deen, if you're using it to promote your deen, then definitely it's beneficial. But how many of us do it for that reason? How many of us use social media to listen to Islamic speeches? You'll be scrolling through social media and Islamic speech will come. How many of us stop there? No, I'll forget that one later. Yeah. Oh, that's what I want to want. Yeah, okay. I want to want. Islamic speech, no, forget that. We're lying, we're joking to ourselves here. We're fooling ourselves. We're making a fool of ourselves. We're not using this social media. You know, I was reading the other week that there was an individual. He traveled from one country to Egypt. In the book, it didn't stay where he went, but he traveled to another country. So he was in another country and he traveled to Egypt. He went there to hear the hadith from this person. One hadith, just one hadith. He traveled all the way to this other country for one hadith. And when he got there, the person said to him, okay, I'll tell you the hadith, but on one condition. He said, what? You have to fast for a whole year. So the person fasted for one whole year. And after that one whole year, he heard the hadith. He told him the hadith. Allahu Akbar. Traveled to another country, fasted a whole year to listen to a hadith. That is the value of Islamic knowledge. Nowadays, we don't value it. Why? Because it's readily available. We've got the internet, we've got social media in our houses. The books are readily available. Dawat Islami has a website, www.dawatislami.net, in which you can download thousands of books completely free of charge. On my PC tablet, I've got probably 1,000 books on here. Didn't cost me anything. Download. How many have I read? Completely free of charge. And we don't value this knowledge. Where the people of the past, they used to travel and they didn't have, you know, fast cars or Boeing 747s on foot, on camel, to learn one hadith. One hadith. And when they got there, fast for a whole year, then I'll tell you. They didn't say, sadda, I'm going, you know, forget this. I don't want to, if that's the condition, then forget it. No, they didn't, because they knew the value of that knowledge. Nowadays, we don't understand the value of the knowledge of the deen. And so this social media is a tool where you can acquire that knowledge. It's a tool where you can equip yourself. It's a tool where you can protect yourself. You can get them resources to protect your iman, if only we realize this. So this haya, coming back to our haya is something that we need to learn to protect. Haya is something that we need to develop. Haya is something that we need to nourish. You know, the same way that if you have a rose tree, and it's beautiful, beautiful, got beautiful flowers on it. What do? You still keep on watering it. You don't stop and say, it's beautiful now, perfect. You have to look after it and care for it. Same way with your iman. You might say, I've got perfect iman, I've got perfect ahya, I've got perfect love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it still needs nourishing. It still needs feeding. It still needs maintaining. Because it only needs one blow from shaitan to blow the tree off. And that's what we need to realize within ourselves. Learn to protect your iman. Learn to protect your haya. I was reading one book once and this person said about haya, about fearing Allah. He said, if you were to take all of your desires, yeah, all of your desires that are in your heart, and you put them on a plate, you got all of your desires, all of your khawaish, got everything that you want in this dunya, put it on a plate. Imagine putting it on the plate. And you had to put that plate in the middle of the town center. And everybody could see that. Would you be ashamed or would you be proud? If everybody could see what is in your heart, would you be ashamed or would you be proud? Very few of us will be proud. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows you have missed your salah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if my ummah do something good, I will praise Allah. If my ummah do something bad, I will seek forgiveness from Allah. So even now, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking forgiveness from Allah for our sins. And the Sufis of the past have gone one step further. They said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows the state of our hearts as well. He knows what is in your hearts. And if you look at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to compete with each other to please him. They used to compete with each other to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that salah is the coolness of my eyes. He loved the people who performed the salah. Nowadays, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows. Allah knows. The Prophet knows. And one day, like I said, when you're in that dark and lonely grave, you can make a fool out of me in this dunya. You can erase your internet history. You can delete your phone. You can smash your phone. You can do whatever you want. You can close the door, switch off the light, do whatever you want. But that day will come. That day will come where every page that you have visited, every screen that you have looked at, everything that you have said, everything that you have done, every social media post that you looked at, whether you liked it or not, it'll be recorded. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all live our lives in such a way to protect our iman, to protect our haya, to live our lives as we should live our lives, to push away the whispers of shaitan and live our lives according to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla for sending anything on me, Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I've said, to act upon what I've said, and to pass it on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success.